Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Sound Health Options Happy Hour Show with Richard Talk to Me Guy and Sherry Edwards. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, and we are going to do happy hour things. We're going to do happy things tonight. Well, maybe we're going to do happy things.
Kind of happy things.
Do you think talking about compatibility and partnership is a happy thing?
It can be. I think it just depends upon your state of mind. And I also think about it in terms of the business world. I think it's an underrated, you know, thing in terms of business communications and all that, because I spend more time in that realm than I do thinking about a primary relationship. But it'd be fun to go back and look at all my ex's voices and see just where it went sideways.
Didn't we do something on you once upon a time and you needed a Gemini at one time, and now you need somebody else?
It seems, yeah, that seems accurate.
Well, we're going to talk about that.
I think I need a dog. That's about as close as I can get these days.
Well, we're going to talk about that tonight, and we're going to ask our audience to join in. And if they have questions or comments, that would be great. I'm trying to speak up because people have complained, several of them, that my voice is too low. JP, you've opened your mic. Do you want to volunteer? Well, he's not going to answer me. Okay. Well, if anybody would like to volunteer to know about themselves or a partner, then let us know. Just go over to the participants list and raise your hand. Well, that's if you're on WebEx. We are simultaneously broadcasting on WebEx through our own website, soundhealthoptions.com. You can go there and just go to radio and happy hour, and there's a link and the code and the password and all other kinds of things. So we are sponsored today by the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology and Sound Health. And we have a new program that we're going to share with you this evening about compatibility after a few announcements. Do you have any announcements, Richard?
I just have a brief one. I was listening to the news when I was out earlier, and just hearing this thing that's happening in the realm of Fox News, where there are so many candidates, particularly on the Republican realms, that Fox News is basically, from what I can tell, and anybody in chat can feel free to correct me, they're going to limit the debates that they broadcast to 10 candidates. So that means that some, insert which end of the mule you'd like, in my opinion, people like Donald Trump, who like to make a lot of noise, and then when it comes down to it, doesn't really do anything. Well, as soon as he gets like down in the polls, you know, he's just making noise every year. So it's quite possible, because he's making a lot of noise now and making statements that are getting him a lot of press, that he'll be one of the candidates for the United States of America president, because he's making a lot of news in the polls. Not because he's a possible real candidate, or not because he really wants to be president of the United States, because he's some end of a mule, in my opinion, that wants to make a lot of noise, therefore he gets a lot of press coverage, therefore Fox News decides, okay, he's going to be in the debates that we're going to broadcast. Really?
So we did his vocal print the last election, and he wasn't really in it for himself. It looked like somebody had asked him to come in and answer questions that neither side of the political toys wanted known, but he came in and asked for, he came in and was talking about the birth certificate and other kinds of things that had been dismissed by conventional people, even though the Georgia court admitted and allowed it to go forth that the birth certificate was false. So when
that may be all true, but that may be all true. However, what I'm really looking at is that a media agency, Fox News and whoever owns that corporation, is saying who the candidates are that will be exposed to the rest of the world. That's really what I'm observing. I just picked on him because I don't like him. You know, that's a personal thing. But
mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that it's come down to media making the choice. They're saying, we're limiting it to this. Whoever's up in the media at this time will be in these conversations and presidential debates. Everybody else is off. So if somebody... go ahead.
Is it from their own polls?
Yes, it's from their own polls.
Huh.
So if you're scoring points in their polls, you'll be in their broadcast presidential candidates. Presidential debates based on their polls. From what I know, like I said, anybody in chat, if they know something different, that's what I heard today while out driving around, and I just thought, really, it's come to, you know, like the best Pepsi commercial. Really? Wow.
Good grief. Well, we have been asked to do all six, is there 20 of them now? There were 16 when they asked us. To do all of the candidates, and we're going to do those announcements on Joyce Riley's Power Hour as soon as I can get them all done. So we will know shortly what people's real intention is. So I have a couple of announcements. John Grove, and I don't know if he's with us tonight. He is. He won the neuroplasticity software from... It was last Tuesday. So, John, that's waiting for you if you haven't already asked for it or downloaded it or whatever. Well, thank you, Samuel. Okay. This whole show, let me see if I can find all the pieces here. This whole show is going to be about loving and sexual urges and compatibilities. And I've put some information in the chat. And just questions. How much time do you spend thinking about a partner, a significant other, having someone, satisfying someone, keeping someone, whatever else kinds of things there are, staying out of the way of someone, avoiding someone, whatever's going to be going on. What is your criteria for loving somebody? And what's your criteria for yourself for being that giving, open partner that you want to be? Can you answer any of that, Richard?
Let's see. How much time do I spend thinking about a partner or significant other? It rolls around in my brain a couple times a week. I would go with that. Keeping someone. I wish I had that kind of money. That's the first thing that comes to mind when you say keeping someone. That usually means financially. Satisfying someone sounds like a great, you know, theory.
Keeping.
Go ahead.
Keeping someone, that I mean by that, what do I do to make my partner happy and that they want to stay with me?
Yeah, I'm out. No, I really, what I mean by that is I would, I think I'm at an age and a thought that I don't want to really live with somebody in my own space all the time because I'm standing in the main room of my home office where I have the radio station set up, and it's not a space that somebody else would want to be in, and it's the largest space in the house. So therefore, I could live with, like, a neighbor, you know, or a condo situation and be in relationship, but I can't imagine at this point in my life actually living with someone unless I won the lotto and we could have a really big house and I could still do what I do.
Do you think this is just your age or your, I don't want to say political situation, but just life? Is this where you are in life?
I think it may be where I am at in life. You know, what I do is who I am. I really am this person that speaks into the microphone. This isn't a, you know, radio voice. This is really me and my opinions, and it's important to me. That's my primary driving force. And whoever was going to be in a relationship with me, which I'm open to the possibility, I just don't foresee it. And because I don't foresee it, I don't spend a lot of time focusing on it. Not in a mean or bad way, just in like, it's not my primary drive. My primary drive is talking into a microphone and having great conversations with people.
Well, we have taught people here how to look at compatibilities, what they have to offer, and what they're looking for in someone else. We've done that with a little nano. That's on our site under soundhealthoptions.com under downloads. But we have a new program, and it is based on an article I wrote called The Love Challenge. And for me, The Love Challenge is about, do you love being loved, or do you really care about that person? I have an idea about distortions about loving someone, and then I'm going to talk about my own ideas. You can chime in anywhere here, Richard. We do have a volunteer. Thank you, JP. I was at a courthouse a few years back, and there was a shooting at the courthouse. There's usually two doors into the courtroom. So the wife came out of one door and the husband came out of another, messy divorce. He shot her 6 times in the face and leaned over and said, well, if she comes to, tell her I love her. And I went, whoa, shot somebody 6 times in the face, the mother of your children, and if she comes to, tell her I love her. That to me is a really incredibly distorted picture of what loving someone is. Did he just love her loving him and it wasn't returned? I think that if you really love somebody, my opinion, as Richard says, if you'll tell them everything there is to know about the relationship, and you'll have to dredge up old things that doesn't pertain, but if you tell them everything they need to know to make a credible decision about who you really are and do they really want to be your partner, to be your whatever other half or whatever you want to call it, then you love them. But if you lie or steal or cheat or do these other things that people consider inappropriate, but if you keep them hidden, they might be okay, then I think you just love the person loving you. And it's not about being real or open or actual, or it's not about something truthful. I need another word there. Real, I guess, is the only. Go ahead.
Appropriate?
Appropriate. That might be a nice word for it. I don't think it's equal. I don't think it's, and I really think it's a challenge loving somebody, and I think it's a challenge having someone love you. But if you have to lie, if the wife has to say, oh, the dress was only $19 and it was really $40, then she's not giving the husband the real picture of who she is. And the same with the guy. And there's distortions all along. My husband used to play ball a lot in his younger days, and they used to all go to a bar. And so I couldn't find him one day, and that was before cell phones, that's how long this was. And I went to this bar, and he had a pool stick in his hand, and one leg was sticking out in the aisle, and there was a girl sitting on his leg. And so I went over and just slid into the other part of the booth and just started a conversation. And he got up to make a pull shot, and this girl that was sitting on his leg said, "Well, how do you know Bill?" And I said, "Well, he's my husband." And she was like, "Oh, I'm sorry." And, you know, he must have wanted her to be sitting on his knee. And when I asked him about it, that did he think that was appropriate, he said he didn't notice. Now, how do you not notice a girl straddling your leg? It just seemed too far-fetched. But that's what he wanted me to think. He wanted me to think good things about him and that he was a loving, compatible, faithful person. I really think people need those other kinds of responses. After we've been married, what, 44 years or something? I think that people, if they, I don't think one person can give everything that another person needs. But I also think sometimes people need a little flattery, and that people don't understand the difference from instead of and in addition to. Her sitting on his leg was in addition to me, not instead of me. So I have these strange ideas about loving, and I, for me, it's what I have to be and have to do for my relationship. Like when his old girlfriend comes to visit, you know, that's okay. Because if he really needed to be with her, that's where he would be. Because I believe everybody has their own connections and their own frequencies that they need to fulfill. And so that's where he ought to be. I believe that people who, how do I say that and be polite? Everybody has a frequency, and that frequency is either positive or negatively charged. And when you see somebody, meet somebody that needs to fulfill that or brings you closer to your balance point, I believe that that relationship ought to be played out. That's kind of a strange idea for most people. But I truly believe that if you need to be with somebody else to fulfill your frequencies or make you whole, then that's where you ought to be. And if he's not the perfect person that I need to be with, there's somebody there that needs to, that completes me or that completes my circle or my harmony or whatever you want to call it. And I think people go around the world thinking about lack, that they need somebody else to fulfill them. They need this to happen before they feel good about themselves. It can't always come from somebody else. A lot of who you are and what you are needs to come from within you, and people don't often know what that is. So when we use nano voice with people, we ask people to talk about their perfect mate and what they want, and then we ask them to talk about what they think they would contribute to a partnership. And in that way, they're able to see who they're, let me see if I can find one of Richard, of all people, because we talk a lot about Richard. Fine, you know, voice. And Richard keeps saying, I hope this is the right one. Yeah, because we just got a new one in. Richard keeps saying that he thinks I'm psychic because I can read all this stuff. It is just about what your voice shows, if that'll come up. If we're looking at Richard's chart, for those of you who are with us on Blog Talk Radio and just listening to this, so we're looking at 12 notes on a blue background. There's columns, C, C-sharp, D, D-sharp, and so forth. And we see things missing in the middle of Richard's chart, F, F-sharp, and G. well, D sharp and E is sort of missing too, but mostly F and F sharp and G. A normal score is 42, and he's got a scores of 0 on Virgo, Libra, and Scorpio. So those are the energies that he's going to be attracted to, whether for a conversation or an encounter. There's also a D sharp. There's a 4 score there, 1/10 of what it should be, and an E, a 2, 1/20 of what it should be, I think, or 1/40, 1/20. So those are Cancer and Leo. Are you attracted to any of those energies at this point, Richard?
I've had relationships with the Libra, with the Cancer, with the Gemini, not the Leo.
Okay, so Scorpio and Leo might be, looks like Scorpio more than anything else at this point. What it does say, since you have really, really high scores in C, Aries, and C-sharp, Taurus, those might be troubling relationships that you would clash. But do you want an exciting relationship? Do you want a clashing relationship? What really is going on?
I would like more of a partnership than a learning exercise. I've had learning exercise relationships. Now I'm ready for more of a partnership. You know, I wouldn't mind. I'd be actually delighted to be in partnership with somebody who wanted to build, you know, she wanted to do a radio show, I wanted to do a radio show, something along those lines where we're both working in a similar field somehow.
So a useful relationship?
Okay.
Well, you lack that in your chart. You lack any green. So a compatible, working, useful relationship.
Yeah.
You have a lot of red in this chart in A, Capricorn, A sharp, Aquarius, and B, Pisces. So those are very easy relationships, spontaneous relationships for you.
Never tried any of those. Nothing easy has ever been in any of my relationships.
There is some very nice chat going on. Oh, some of it's private to me. Okay, I'll keep that private. Thank you, Samuel. That's two wonderful compliments. Does anybody have pieces they would like to add to this? Because we have a new computer program, and it's called Compatibility. And so the things that we are guessing about, we are going to really show what's going on with somebody. So we have a... Go ahead.
If you want... You've been talking about relationships. I've been in a relationship for the last 3 years that has totally been one of those learning relationships and quite productive. And karmic and all of those things. And it has put me through the mill, I have to tell you. So if you want to measure a voice of what it looks like on the other side of something like this, I'm sure I've still got other work to do, but it's been a major thing for me.
And JP, quit talking. We were doing your voice. We got about... half of a file. Let's see what that comes
up
with.
Okay. Do you want me to? Do you want me to continue?
I stopped
every
it.
Every time I speak to you, you instantly whip out your nano voice. Gary and her nano voice. Oh, look at that bee there. Yeah. And I've also been working with Violet. I think it looks like I've had enough Violet, which is my birth date. You know, I'm March 18th, so I'm very close to the edge of Pisces Aries.
Yeah, well, that's we only had like half a score here, but that's your highest note.
Yeah, I think I should switch off the Violet now.
Okay, well, we can do this twice and see what's going on.
Okay,
let's save this. And it gave us an instant report. Let's see if any of this is you. You appreciate others and tend to take care more about those who recognize your ability to be in service. Tend to care more. Is that true?
Tend to care more about those who recognize my ability to be of service.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, if people can see my value, then that's good because I'm valued. Otherwise, people, it's a sensible strategy, I would say.
So appreciation might be a good core value for you. You have high ideals and expect the same from your companions. Sometimes there's conflict between your inner ideals and what you want others to think of you. Anything going on there that you want to comment on?
Well, am I a hypocrite? Sure, I'm a hypocrite. Yeah, everybody's a hypocrite. Thanks, Sherry.
Insecurity can sometimes cause you to be perceived as weak and manipulative. Ooh, where did that come from?
Oh, people think I'm squishy.
Maybe we just needed to get all the scores in here. This is looking at not only highs and lows. Your high note here is Pisces energy, love of humanity, not necessarily one person at a time. You tend to care about groups and group thought rather than one person, although you said you're in this relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I also do this group activity, which is called Wolf Spirit Radio. I've been doing it for 4 years now, and now it's almost full-time, and it's a psychic connection with loads and loads of different people all at the same time, and it's quite a fascinating flow of the way that the energy is moving for me.
F-sharp is a bit low, and it only has one green useful piece. This indicates to me that you really are somewhat intolerant of people who are takers or whiners or poor me kind of thing. You just want to kick butt and get them up and running on their own and for them to quit looking to you to be the puppet master or the person who's going to do for them. Okay, that's my interpretation.
That's interesting because that's who I was before, more of that. I would say, I'd hold people's hands a bit more. But now I'm a little more, okay, get over it. We haven't got time for this kind of thing.
G-sharp is also kind of small, and that could either mean some kind of digestive or liver issue, or it could mean you need your relationships to be useful. The people around you need to be useful and just do what you're telling them to do on a physical level and don't question, make me explore it with words. It just, this is an actionable item and let's get on with it.
Yeah, I get that. It's like there's no time. At the moment, it feels like there's no time anymore to waste on kind of explaining things anymore. If you haven't got it by now, you shouldn't be working. But how to relate in a nourishing way. I think the F-sharp issue seems to be, for me, about nourishment. How do I feel nourished in a relationship? And how, that's what would keep me. If I want to be with somebody who is giving me the things that are nourishing me, then there's no reason for me to look elsewhere.
Well, that is also a Libra quality. So that may be where that's coming from. Also for men, F and F sharp is male hormones. For women, B and C are their hormones. Hormones for the universe, and then C for self, and C sharp for reproduction energy. So as we look at your F and F sharp, there's a little bit of a controversy there. A little bit of F sharp, but in F is the same F sharp, but you also have a balance here of being spontaneous and thinking about it at the same time. So a little bit of unbalance there. They can also mean low back energy. So, and I feel you've been on a new or a different diet, haven't you?
Oh, yes. Well, I have discovered. I've been on a journey of discovery that I'd like to share with your friends as well.
Well, let me just get another compatibility up here.
Get the thing up, because this is a really interesting thing, and it's semi-humorous. And it's an object lesson. Okay, so what is this? Is about it's not very nice. It's about candida and candida overgrowth. And it seems to me, I questioned it. You know, what is it all about? What is it all about? You know, and it goes all the way back to Egypt, and it goes all the way back to Ra. And Ra being not a very nice god. He's not actually a god, you know, he's just a kind of a big guy. He gave the stuff out, and it actually forms a kind of colony inside your body. When combined with wheat, it forms a colony inside your body, which eventually, if you put enough of it inside you, you start having these threads which grow underneath your skin, which are like radio aerials, which then start coming into contact with your electrical system and your emotions and your stuff like that. And it basically jacks into your cravings and produces the craving. And here's the thing, and everybody suffers from it, so like, stand by for a journey, right? You're standing in front of a warm oven, you've had a loaf of bread in that oven, and you are standing in front of it. You open the oven, right? And you can, the warm air, warm moist, the warm yeasty moist air comes in. Yum. Okay. And the thing that you really want to do is take that bread out, let it cool down just enough so that you can cut it up and put some butter on it. I'm going nung 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 nung. Okay.
So you're telling us that wheat is addictive and it causes candida?
Wheat is the sharp blades that cut the gut. And it's in beer and it's in bread. It cuts you open and allows the yeast to pass through.
You know, it makes your gut permeable. We had William Davis on the show 2 weeks ago. And he talked about that it becomes very addictive. Wheat becomes addictive and very, very hard to get off of.
That's right. Because, right, so here's the thing. It's not you that is being addicted. So no amount of self can change this. What you're dealing with is that you have a parasitic entity that is under your skin and is essentially a large loaf.
That's really
scary. This is
why
people are overweight.
Incredibly scary. Is that the diet you went on?
Well, no. This is the realization that I've had.
Ah.
Right? That it's not fat like you see in a chicken. It's loaf. You know, I started testing this. Because, you know, if you make bread, right, check out what happens when you make bread. You put the powder, there's nothing happening. You put the sugar down, nothing happens. You add the water to the powder and the sugar, and poof! The yeast goes, yeah! We're at parties. Yeast likes to do two things. Okay, so now we have to look at the consciousness of this being called the Nung, which I call the Nung. Sorry, I don't want to take up your show too much, but I call it the Nung because that's what it wants to do. And what it likes to do is Nung with other people, with other members of itself. So it tries to draw more of itself towards itself, which makes you crave beer and bread, which puts more of this being into your body through the holes in the cell in the gut walls. How's that, Sherry?
Well, it gave us plenty enough to look at. We've got some people in the chat that says that wheat uses the same neuropathy as cocaine, so you get very addicted by it. I was looking at candida as you were talking about this, and wheat and bread. Gliadin and gluten and candida are all the same frequency. Wonder if that's why when they come together, they feed each other.
So, what I find is that if I eat sugar, my body starts swelling up. Okay, so that means that I've got a candida body inside my skin. So, now, if I were to take an allopathic view, which in my perception is a Nazi point of view, it wants to eliminate, Nazi wants to eliminate. We don't want Nazis. We need to work together. So my conception is you create a place for this thing to exist in a very, very small quantity and live with it and understand that it's part of you and it's part of your makeup now. And it's like having neighbors. Have to placate with sweets every so often, but not to overtake. But it's the thing that causes the cravings, and it can hurt you. It's like one of these things that's jacked into your nervous system and can actually hurt you. And when it starts to die, it produces these toxins which make you sick and ill and stuff. Anyway, so there's enough data. You can analyze my voice away to your heart's content.
But that didn't.
That's what I've been working with. Anyway, so I've been reducing my weight and reducing my candida, and my mind is so clear, Sherry.
This is awesome information. We should do a whole Sunday show on this and your experience with it. We need to get back to. I want to know more, and I'm so curious, and I get taken off the pathway when I really should be paying attention.
I'll send you a link, actually, to a show I did with Mona on Revolution Radio the other week. I laid the whole thing out, so I'll send you a link to that show.
That would be great. Okay, I want to ask a question then. What kind of partner do you think you are? We did one on the relationship that you're in, back to task here. So if I hit the little microphone, can you see what we're doing here?
Okay, yeah, I know. So the kind of partner that I think I am, now when I first started going out with Nikki, I was quite reluctant because she was very, very insistent. She's German and, she was very, very insistent. And there were many times I felt very pressurized by her to be in relationship with me. And there's all these things and all this past life stuff she was coming out with. I remember you from Egypt and you were terrible then, you know. Right. And every week it's like, oh, there's another one, you know, who am I this week? Oh, you're this. You're bad. So I've been through a pepper grinder of relationshipal energies. So yeah, what does your thing say about this? Where's that F shot? I'm being a victim on this one, because I really felt victimized by her.
But look at this. It's the same sentence that came up with the other one. So
yeah,
you can't lie to your voice here. Almost the same. I think it is the same printout. Let's go see.
Oh no. The second paragraph was different. So the first one...
The first one was the same, wasn't it?
Yeah, but you see, insecurity can sometimes cause you to be perceived as weak. And look at the second one. It was different. It was saying too much too soon about yourself can be disturbing to a potential partner. You love the idea of a love slave. Listening may not be easy, but it will get you results. You can be very... Yeah, okay, well, kind of in a way, that was how I was. Yeah, that was a good way of... describing my kind of position at the start of this thing and what I was resisting.
Do you think it had anything to do with your diet that changed your partnership potential?
Well, that's very interesting because after we started seeing each other, I'd also moved house. Actually, record these different sections as I tell you the story, because you'll see the different changes in frequency patterns.
Okay.
So this might be a very interesting thing, so you'll see the different things come out.
Okay, hold on.
Okay.
And you warn me when something else is going to happen. COMPAT.
Yeah.
Oh, it didn't... C-O-N-T-A-T-I.
I think this is quite fun because it's quite a story, you know, and this is a relationship. This is the stuff.
You can do as many of these as you want to find out what's really going on in every aspect. So
yeah. Okay. So here we are. So I moved house. I was staying at my brother-in-law's house, and I finally moved house and got my own place. And my girlfriend had a husky dog, and she left me. She went to see her sister in London and left me the dog to babysit. And I don't know dogs, and it was quite a strange thing. And anyway, at the same time, I got sick. The dog, he's a husky, so he's kind of wolfy, and there's this whole wolf ethos going on with the Wolf Spirit Radio and stuff like that. Anyway, so I got sick, and I went on this kind of shamanic journey with the wolf, and my guides were basically saying, you know, we're upgrading you, but you need to essentially move towards a more vegan diet. Perhaps they meant a more vegan diet, as in terms of somebody who comes from Vega, and maybe not, you know, not somebody who just eats vegetables. But anyway, and at the time it was like, can I give up my haggis? You know, I'm never giving up red meat and sausages and stuff like that, because I loved all that stuff. But I was large and low flight, so yeah. So have I? No, it's I. Oh my God. C sharp or D? What's that, Shari?
C sharp, Taurus, fairness, D, wanting the best for others. But look at that. First, you are absolutely tactless when anyone wants to restrain you. Is that you?
You can be tactless and not even realize that you're on. I don't like restraint, no. You're just trying to be helpful.
Do you think this is more... you're talking about the beginning of your relationship. Did you feel somewhat restrained then?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Very much. And I really didn't like it. And I really, yeah, I was tactless does not go anywhere near how I was. I'm not kidding, Sherry. You know, basically this woman has turned this mild-mannered, you know, probably passive-aggressive male into this kind of, don't touch me.
The last part of these are usually what the problems are now.
Go on, what we got?
You need a relationship that has a balance between mental and physical stimulation. Any of that true?
Respect for your ideals will get your partner much expressed appreciation. Indeed, that is exactly respecting my ideas, and it's a mutual thing. And actually, what it's turned out to be is she has her own stories. And so I gave her a radio show. And things have worked out a lot better since then. But going back to the whole diet thing, it's about 2 years ago, 2013, that I got this kind of big, I was very ill, and I had this, you know, thing, and they were saying, you know, move towards a more vegan diet. I'm saying that. I was resisting it. I've been very resistant, you know. I have been the army of resistance in all things, you know. Sludge doesn't come anywhere near me. Sort of a tarry, sludgy sort of substance has been my kind of, sort of energy. So anyway, I had this on for, right, okay, so, and then I got this lovely thing, meat, wheat, sweet. Eliminate the meat, then eliminate the wheat, and then eliminate the sweet. Okay, so, and the other message that they said is you have to stop eating death.
Eating death?
Eating death.
Bad processed foods? What did they mean?
Well, that was a very interesting thing. You know, because I thought, what do they mean? Because they, you know, when they say, it's like Kosh in Babylon 5, they say like one sentence that means a million things. So I thought, what is death? What are they talking about? And I realized they were talking about the death industry. meth industry runs from abattoirs through prisons, through human trafficking, through gelatin production, through through packaged food, through armaments, anything that has to do with death in its myriad forms, including what to do with the products of death and how to cause death and anything like that, that's all conglomerated in what you might call Halliburton or something like that. You know, whoever or whatever it is, Dick Cheney's at the head of it. He's Darth Vader. You know, he's Anu. He's the bionic man. If you want to put a face on that kind of thing, you know, he's got no heart. His the tar-like blood sort of flows slowly around his body through a pump. Anyway, I don't want to demonize the guy. He's just got. Anyway, but this is the death industry. And so when you stop eating things from the death industry, you stop being infected by the death and you start coming alive. And here's the thing. Now, coming back to the candida, I realized that candida overgrowth was a problem. But how to deal with it and how to stop feeding it, which is how you deal with the parasite, you stop feeding it. How do I, this tarry resistant blob, get to having enough discipline to not nung out on a pizza once in a while? And then, 2 days later, I get a migraine and, I put on another 5 pounds. So I kind of went for it, really. You know, because I live on my own, and my girlfriend comes. She used to come. Yeah, she still does. She insists on seeing me twice a week. So, back to the relationship. I also realized that she also had candida overgrowth, and it affected her in different ways. But essentially, she ate like a Toblerone in a day. A big one, a couple of 100 grams of chocolate in a day, and she would pack it away, and she'd drink beer and stuff, and yet there was there was energy about her that I felt very uncomfortable around, and that's part of it, is that the candida does have this, it's kind of frumpy grumpy energy. It's like, it's only happy when it's eating sugar. It's only happy when it's got friends and eating sugar and stuff like that. So that's the feeling of it. This is the feeling of the being that lives inside your body. And we have many more feelings than that, but we're trapped in those feelings.
Okay, we have a request.
Sorry, Sharon.
We have a request from the audience. One, they want the link to this candida diet, if you could put that in.
It's not a diet. It's an understanding.
Okay.
Well, he mentioned, well, actually, JP, what you mentioned is you said you would give Sherry a show that you did recently on candida, and that's what I was asking for in chat, was if you'd put the link for that show there so people could hear more about candida.
Sure, I can. I'll do that in a few moments when I've finished speaking. Otherwise, I need to split my mind on electronic things, if that's okay.
Yeah, the other thing that people want is they want to know what your relationship is now and what your vocal print looks like. You talked about the beginning.
Yeah, but we haven't finished yet. It's a long story. Because a relationship is not a single thing. You don't just have a girlfriend. I thought, I'd like a girlfriend. You know, that's what I wanted. Nice girlfriend, nice long legs, long hair. Oh, I got that. Oh, man, I got that. I tell you, I got that. I found somebody who was as intelligent as me and possibly cleverer than me. Like, really smart and taller than me and, like, slightly more uber. She's German, right? And so you know how German engineering is just that slightly better thing. So she's just slightly better engineered than I am. Like, you know, kind of a lot. She's fit and, you know, she can run around on the roof and stuff like that. There I am, some Mr. Malignant Blob. Anyway, meanwhile, so there I was, feeling very resistant to it all, but, you know, knowing I had to work through it and realizing that, well, when will this end? How do I get through this? Well, it's all about karma. I have to work off the karma. We have to deal with the karma. And so, you know, there's a course of forgiveness that goes on with this. So that's part of it, is forgiveness. And a part of the forgiveness is, you know, this is the spiritual part of it. And if the forgiveness is like, okay, well, yes, maybe I did that, and I know what it feels like to suffer that, and, you know, to release the charge of the karma that runs between them. And another thing that I've been also working on is a thing that has only recently manifested, which is it's called constellation work, or systemic constellation work, which is a way of, it's kind of like a holodeck for the soul, holodeck for the traumas of your childhood, and it's very swift to get to the heart of the matter. Very few words are exchanged. It's not a wordy therapy. You just get straight to it and get to the discharge. Well, I did anyway. And that really has changed a lot in my relationship. So I work. The other thing about relationship is, if you got some issue about somebody else, if you think, all right, here's best JP's relationship advice, having been through the mill, right? If you think that somebody else has got a problem, then you've got that problem. That should stop everybody dead. If you think that you're seeing a problem in somebody else, it's probably 50-50, maybe 60-40, perhaps 80-20, you know.
Somebody posted that in the site, that a lot of things that are going on are just mirrors to show you what's a problem with you.
Absolutely.
She wrote, right, personally, I think most of us have not yet had a great role model to pattern ourselves after, so we act out what is mirrored. That's very good.
Yeah.
I was looking at your karma stuff here, G sharp.
The karma.
That is Sagittarius. That's making everything right. Looking at everything wrong and making it right.
That's very interesting, because okay, so here we go, right? My birthday is March 18th. Nikki's birthday is September 18th. Exactly, well, opposite in Virgo.
Yes, F and B.
So Sagittarius would be the T-square, which would be a release and solution. Now, that's very interesting, because we don't have a Sagittarius in our constellation. You know, we don't have a friend who's Sagittarius or Sagittarius arising, apart from my ex-girlfriend, you know. But, oh, God, that would be very complicated.
It's a good balance.
We're already complicated. We won't go into that, about what's going on for her. But the thing is that things about her used to bother me until I worked on myself, and I worked on my inner child. So what I discovered, that the things that people bother you about are the things that you need healing with, and they would come up if somebody were to say, and you've probably found this coming up in your readings, Shari, if somebody were to say, oh, well, my boyfriend does this, and my boyfriend does that, and this, that, and this, and that, and this, and that, and you took that frequency, you would find that that's her situation. Have you ever found that, Shari?
Pretty much. Right on.
Yeah. So, basically, we express all the time what our feeling and our need is. And we express it from every single point of expression, every single pore of our body. We sweat it. We sound it. We move it. We jiggle up and down it with the frequencies of our need, don't we?
Yes. And when we look at how we want to be loved, that gives a lot of power to the other person sometimes. So,
that's right.
I think it's incredible that we even get together anytime. Humans are very, very complicated in looking at how we have relationships and how we get to our inner core. And that's what you've been talking about. You have to find your inner core and what you are and what you're willing to provide to a relationship before it can ever be real.
Yeah. And that's something that I hadn't really figured out. As I said, I want a girlfriend, long hair. That'll do, long legs. That'll be nice. I don't know. No, I'm being a little facetious because I am quite, you know, I do require a bit of, quite a lot of spiritual connection in my, you know, people that I relate to. I couldn't have a bimbo just because she was pretty. She would have to be very incisive and lucky if she was pretty.
So do you think now that you've found yourself, was it through her, or was it through going off wheat, or was it just karma and a lot of things dumping on you? How did you get to where you are?
All of these things. They all pressurize me. Everything about, I mean, you may not be aware, but this time last year, Dave Corto started getting ill. And he was running the station 6 days a week, and I was running the station one day a week. And then he kind of threw them all in my lap, and I had to deal with it. So there was all that went on. I've been very, very pressurized for over a year. And so it was something needed to give. And it had to be my emotional blocks. That was the thing that everything together... That was the only thing that could give. That was my stuff. Everything else was unforgiving. It was like pressurized, pressurized, pressurized. So I was squeezed until I popped. And I was very fortunate to have this lovely friend. And I again did a show on my site. It's there in the archives, Journey to JP, with Lucy about constellation therapy, and I'd recommend it for everybody, really. I mean, it's fantastic. It's like a holodeck. You can nurture your inner child, find out what went wrong, and regain it. And what happens when you gain an inner child fragment, when you release the charge of a situation, you gain all the memories and powers of that child and the magical child part of it. So when you release your inner child, you're actually, you know, allow it to grow up and become the adult that you are.
Which
is what's happened.
Would you put all those wonderful links in the chat for everyone while I make our closing announcements?
Absolutely. I'm sorry.
We've run out of time. On Thursday and Friday of this week, we are doing a two-day technician class. It is free and open to the public. Your software, your textbook, and your class is included in that price of free. So if you would like to be part of that class, please get in touch with us. It's going to be on allergies, and Candida is going to be part of that. We'll be showing you how to look for Candida and wheat in the system, and we'll be showing you how to use phosphatidylcholine to help you over these wheat addictions. So please join us then. Get in touch with the office or go to our site, soundhealthoptions.com. Go to classes and go down to free classes. This is normally a class that's $1,200. You can pay us if you'd like. We'd love it. But we think this class about allergies is so incredibly important for everyone. And a big part of that is going to be how to look for wheat sensitivities and allergies and leaky gut. So we think everybody should be there, but that's my very selfish reason. The other thing is on July 18th, we are going to be having a class on Nano Voice, which is the personality profiler. It's based on what we did tonight about compatibility, of looking how you look at a partner and how you perceive yourself as a benefit or an addition to a partner. So it helps you get to the very thing that JP is talking about and I'm talking about, that you need to know yourself first, or at least that's the first step, because if you don't know you and have a strong foundation of what's okay with you and what's not, then your relationship's likely going to be built on a false premise. I've written an article about this. It's called The Love Challenge, and it's about how I feel about loving people and what I want for others and the freedom in a relationship as well as a bond. So if you'd like a copy of that, we'll put it up for you when we put up this video, and it should be tomorrow. When is it going to be up on Stitcher and
Stitcher, iTunes? Well, Blog Talk Radio, it'll be up on the page. I believe it's on the at soundhealthoptions.com. If you go to the Blog Talk Radio tab, down there at the lower right-hand side, there's a player that will show the most recent 5 shows. And it'll probably be up there about 15 minutes after we end the show. And then slowly it migrates out to such app, Stitcher and iTunes and Pocket Cast and all those other aggregators that allow you to listen to whatever you, however you listen to the shows, it'll show up there.
I think, oh, listen to past.
It's there. There it is.
Yeah. Under the radio tab, and this was our show from last Sunday, I think. So it'll be there within a half hour or so. There was one other announcement. Radio, I don't know what's going to happen Sunday. I think Gwen Olson is going to be on with us, and she is the person from the movie Doctored who talks about Big Pharma and what she was taught, how to manipulate doctors into putting people on pharmaceuticals, whether they needed it or not. So we're hoping that turns out. We really appreciate you being here. If you would like to be in the drawing for one of these compatibility programs, and we'll give those, we'll give it away. Like I said, John Grove won the one from last week. So if you'd like to purchase this program or you want to be in the drawing, please just write to me, Sherry Edwards at Gmail, Sharry. And for those of you who listened to the show on Blog Talk, and we really don't know who you are, just go ahead and write to me and say, I listened to the show, and I want a copy of this wonderful program because I want to know what kind of person I am, because I want to know how to do this without going off wheat. I'll do that later. Okay. Thanks for being here, Richard. JP, thanks for volunteering. For the rest of you, we'll hope we'll see you, or you'll hear us on Sunday.
Everybody have a great week. Talk to you soon.